Now my privilege to turn the platform over to Brother Erwin Kalinske, and he's selected as his subject cosmology, the Big Bang. Cosmology, the Big Bang. Brother Erwin.
Good morning, brethren. It's very providential that Brother Ken Humphreys prayed for the service, because many years ago, we were working as trim carpenters trimming out a school. So we're very thankful for his faithfulness, and we're trying to prove to be faithful to our Heavenly Father. I would like to bring you the Christian love from all of your brethren in Chicago. I know you received love before, but we're bringing another big load of love. And we'd also like to bring you the love of our Tuesday evening meeting and also of our Thursday day meeting. And in the Lord's providence, Sister Dorothy and I consider it a great privilege and honor to be with the brethren at this convention. We are enjoying the talks and the fellowship very much. And we also bring you loads of love from Brother and Sister Arthur and Barbara Jesuit, Brother and Sister Ted Martin, and also Brother and Sister Ben and Irene Nadinsky. And we also bring you another, this will be the third load from the Prince Albert Convention. And I'd also like to mention that when we were there, we received benefits for the flesh. They had homemade cheesecakes, and they had pies that were made from all of the berries, and they were very delicious. Our subject is cosmology, the Big Bang. Definitions. Cosmos is an orderly, harmonious, systematic universe. Cosmology is a branch of metaphysics that deals with the universe as an orderly system. Cosmology is a branch of astronomy that deals with the origin, structure, and space-time relationships of the universe. And we're going to talk quite a bit about the space-time relationships of the universe, and Brother Paul Melly covered this in his book on the Bible and civilization. For our introduction, we're going to quote Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Psalms 19:1. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And men shall speak of the power of thine awesome acts, and I will tell you of thy greatness. Psalms 145, verses 3 to 6. For our table of contents for this presentation, we're going to cover three, it will be covered in three parts. One, we're going to talk about the invisible world. That would be about God, the Logos, Lucifer, and angels. And all of these were created 15 billion years ago, and that would be before we could measure any time-space relationship. We don't know, or the scriptures don't even give us a hint as to how long it took to create all of the spiritual beings. For our second part of the program, we're going to talk about the visible world, and this would be the scientific approach. We're going to talk about the creation of the universe. We're going to talk about Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to talk about the development of science. And we're also going to talk about the Big Bang Theory. For the third part of the presentation, we're going to talk about the visible world, and this will be the scriptural approach. We're going to talk about Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to talk about the God of design, and this would be the great ID, and this would be the discussions that are going on in all of the universities. And then we're going to have the examination of the scriptural Big Bang Theory. This is the world in a fishbowl. This is not meant to offend anybody, but what we're going to do is try to take and expand your minds and go on a tour of the universe, so hopefully we would learn some new concepts. Now we're going to start our discussion on the invisible world. God is self-existing one. This is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Logos is a God, recorded for us in John 1:1. He is the only begotten of God in Revelation 3:14 and Colossians 1:15. The Logos is the master craftsman, or he's the master workman in Proverbs 8:30. And Lucifer is a son of the morning, Isaiah 14:12. And angels were created by the Logos, Colossians 1:16. And this happened prior to 15 billion years ago. Now we're going to talk about God. He had no beginning and no end. My name is, according to the Jewish, Yahweh, YHWH. My name is Jehovah, according to the Gentiles. And Haya means to be, that God will be what he wants to be in each age or dispensation. We can make a talk to show how God's name changes in every age. And I am the self-existing one. And we're going to talk about the God of Genesis. That would be the Elohim. If you have a companion Bible, if you look at Appendix 4, they have a wonderful display of the correct interpretation of the Elohim. And we're also going to mention about El Elyon, that God is the creator, creator of our earth, creator of the universe. And this is recorded in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, and also verse 22. Our next consideration is the Logos. The Logos is God's only direct creation, Revelation 3:14. He is the firstborn of all creations, Colossians 1:15. We measure time with the beginning of the Logos, recorded for us in Proverbs 8:22-30. And he was the archangel or cherub in Revelation 22:16. Our next consideration is Lucifer. He was a morning star, Isaiah 14:12. Lucifer means morning star. He was also a cherub that would be the highest order of angels, and he had a very prominent position in Ezekiel 28:16. We only know, and if the brethren could add to this list, would be welcome to add their names. We only know of three angels by name. That would be Michael, the archangel, who was the Logos, Lucifer, who was a morning star, and Gabriel, who is mentioned in the 9th chapter of Daniel. For the invisible world, we have an organizational chart, and naturally God, who is the creator, would be at the top of our chart. And Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions." So Logos was the direct creation of God. Then we have Lucifer, who was the son of the morning. And we have cherubim, which would be the highest order of angels. And you recall from the mercy seat that there were two cherubims that looked down on the mercy seat. And that would be God's love and power. And they would be ready to rescue mankind soon as just blood is applied on the mercy seat for the world of mankind. And continuing, in my Father's house are many mansions. We have seraphim, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers. So the question would come to our minds, how many angels are there? A guess, this is a personal guess, that there would be billions upon billions. In Hebrews 12:22, it mentions that there are myriads of angels. And in Jude 14, it said there are 10,000s of angels. And in Revelation 5:11, we have myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands. We have a scripture in Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. So you may ask, what do these stars have to do with angels? We believe that God would be so prolific in creating all of the stars, so we feel the relationship would be that God created billions upon billions of angels. When you look at this picture, you would think that these are stars, but they're not stars. They're galaxies. And a big part of our talk will be that we are going to talk about galaxies. Now we're going to approach the scientific world. Scientific cosmology has three main theories. The first theory would be that someone created the universe, and this would be the intelligent design or the great ID. And as I mentioned before, this discussion is going on through all of the universities, all the colleges, and all of the learning centers. The second would be that the universe always existed. The third would be that the universe was created, the universe created itself, and this would be the RD, and this would be the random design. Edwin Hubble proved that the universe is constantly expanding, and this would prove the creator. So what we do is we eliminate the other two possibilities, and we know that someone created the universe, and this would be the great ID. Ptolemy lived from 90 to 168 A.D., and for 1,200 years, or a little over 1,200 years, his concept held sway in the scientific world. The sun revolves around the earth. Then we have Copernicus, who lived from 1473 to 1543, and he brought out the fact that the sun is the center of our planetary system. And I'd like to mention, when the Polish Pope came to Chicago, the first thing that he wanted to do is to go to the Polish Center, that's like a big community, where they had the Copernicus Museum. And the Pope wanted to pay his respects to Copernicus, and he apologized. He apologized that the Catholic Church was wrong in suppressing Copernicus. And at the present time, at Loyola University, which is in the Chicago area, they have a display of all of the manuscripts of Copernicus. Our next scientist is Galileo, who lived from 1564 to 1642. And the Catholic Church also suppressed him. And he confirmed Copernicus' findings. And also he was the first scientist to develop the telescope, and he was able to see the different planets in our solar system. And he was also able to see sunspots. Our next gentleman, scientist, was Sir Isaac Newton. And I never knew that he was Jewish until one brother told me when I presented this before. He lived from 1642 to 1727. He developed the law of gravity and discovered the visible light spectrum, which laid the foundation for future telescopic study. And we're going to illustrate how Hubble used this light spectrum to prove that the galaxies are expanding. Our next scientist is Albert Einstein, who lived from 1879 to 1955. Einstein was so thrilled when he discovered one of the secrets of the universe, when he came up with his famous formula of E equals mc squared. He was so thrilled that he went to all the rabbis, and he asked the rabbis, why does God permit evil? And they were not able to answer his question, so he's very sad. Then he went to all of the Gentile theologians, and he asked, why does God permit evil? And they could not answer his question, so it was a slip from Isaac in his belief of the Creator. At the present time, not only do we understand the energy of the sun, but we could duplicate its power. And we have before us Abbé Georges Lemaître from 1894 to 1996. He was the first scientist to promote the Big Bang Theory, and he's standing with Albert Einstein. These are observatories that are on the island of Hawaii, and for each observatory that you see, it represents a different country. So this was a suitable place where they could have advanced studies of the universe. And this is also an observatory that would be in the mountains of northern Chile. And we have Edwin Hubble, who lived from 1889 to 1953. He used the light spectrum color shift to prove that the universe is expanding. So he took the light spectrum that Sir Isaac Newton developed, and he proved that our universe is expanding. And then we also have George Agamov, who lived from 1904 to 1968. He predicted infinitely hot starting conditions followed by rapid cosmic expansion. And this would be a picture of the Big Bang Theory. You will notice that time starts at the very beginning, and as we progress, you'll notice that it's fractions of seconds. And then also you'll notice, if you see it where it says 1 second, and then also it goes to 3 minutes, 300,000 years, 1 billion, and we would be at the present time of 15 billion years. And we're going to talk about the period when we had all of the radiation. This is another picture of the Big Bang, and you'll notice that it was a matter of seconds that the Big Bang started to expand, and then we progress all the way up to 15 billion years. This is another picture to illustrate the Big Bang. And the Big Bang was the beginning of everything, and this would be our time, space, and building blocks of all matter in the universe. The great cosmic clock began ticking some 13 billion years ago in a fireball so concentrated that matter and antimatter were created spontaneously out of energy. At the instant of creation, the universe was almost infinitely hot and dense. Then it began to cool, expand and cool, and it is still expanding and cooling today. We have two scientists here. Their names are Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson. They developed this big radio antenna that you see in back of them. And when they started out, they received strange sounds. And they said, well, let's go out there and clean off all of the pigeon dung. And when they cleaned off all the pigeon dung, they came back and they were still receiving the strange sounds. So what they realized that they were getting the static from the cosmic expansion that would be about 300,000 years from the beginning of the Big Bang. So these two gentlemen went from pigeon dung to the Nobel Prize. So these were two gentlemen who won the Nobel Prize due to discovery that they could measure the static that came from the Big Bang. And this would be a better illustration that you see echoes of the Big Bang, and they were able to record. They were able to record all of this, and they received a Nobel Prize that the Big Bang would no longer be a theory, but it would be a proven scientific fact. And then we have two more men. This is very recently. I didn't put the date in here, but this is very recent that two win the Nobel or picture of the backfire. This would be the backfire from the Big Bang. I'm going to read just the first paragraph. It says, two physicists who obtained a satellite picture of the infant universe a mere 389,000 years after its explosive birth 13 billion years ago, a feat most scientists thought would never be achieved, have been awarded the 2006 Nobel Prize in Physics. So we have four men now who won the Nobel Prize to prove that it's no longer a theory. Again, now you see the picture, and some look like galaxies, but some look like stars, but these are all galaxies at different distances in the universe. This is our prize photo that we really enjoy, because what it does, Hubble took a picture of all of the galaxies, and what he did, he applied the spectrum of what Isaac Newton developed, and this would be the center of the Big Bang. And if you have good eyes, you can see that they're at different positions. All of these would be galaxies, and if they are in the red color, that means they're further away from the Big Bang, and they're traveling at a faster speed. And if you have exceptionally good eyesight, you can see that the ones in the back are closer to the blue. That means they're closer to the Big Bang, and they're moving at a much slower speed. Einstein had the thought that all of the galaxies moved at the same speed. And he had to apologize that that was the greatest mistake of his life. So he traveled to California, and he got in contact with Hubble, and he apologized that he was wrong. And it's a wonderful thing that he admitted. Here we have a great scientist who found one of the greatest formulas of our time, and he admitted that he was wrong. So all of the galaxies that you see here are traveling at different speeds from the center of the Big Bang. So at the present time, we not only understand all of the dynamics of the sun, but we could duplicate its power. Now we're going to talk about our third part of our presentation, and this would be the visible world, or the scientific approach. Our first consideration is a beautiful scripture in 1 Peter 1:20, that Christ, for he was known before the foundation of the world. I really appreciate that scripture. And Jesus said in John 17:24, thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. And this is a beautiful scripture for the church class. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, this does not mean that God chose us individually at that point in time, but God did choose a class whereby the church class would be joint heirs with Christ. And we have a beautiful scripture in 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, that would be our high calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. I'd like to emphasize the word grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And this would be aeonian times, before times, and that would be age lasting. This is from the Diaglot. The Big Bang. By faith we understand the ages who have been fitted together by the declaration of God, to the end that not out of things appearing should that which is seen have come into existence. The word is bara, and this is taken from Hebrews 11:3 from Rotherham. And the creation of bara, this word means the entirety of the heavens, appears seven times in the Old Testament. So the thought would appear to us that God created the universe out of nothing, but we believe that he did create it out of atoms, and he was the one that pressed the trigger, or he was the originator of the Big Bang. Continuing the Big Bang, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that would be Hebrews, Hamayim, Eretz. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This would be Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and also Isaiah 42:5. The Logos was the master craftsman, so we believe that the Logos created all of the angels, and he was instrumental in all of the creation after he was created by God. And we have the creation by design, and this proves the existence of God. If ever you want to talk to anyone and try to prove God's existence, I would recommend Genesis 1:14-18, because this is where God ordained, in the beginning, God ordained the length of the day, the month, and the year. So this time period was fixed by God, And we would be able to measure time-space relationship. And that's why we have a picture of a clock, that at the present time we have wristwatches. We have all types of clocks where we could measure time. And this time was designed by God. This is a picture, again, that we really enjoy, and this shows that the galaxies are expanding. So we have a silent quiz for you. This is a multiple choice. So the quiz is, how many books of the Bible support the Big Bang Theory? So you have to choose A, which would be 0, B is 1, C is 3, and D is 5. If you get the right answer, you get an extra scoop of ice cream at the ice cream social. So are you ready for the quiz? Okay. Think for a minute as to what would be the correct answer. 0, 1, 3, or 5. The correct answer is 5. And we're not going to read all of the scriptures. But we have Job 9, 8. Psalms 104, verse 2. And we have 6 scriptures in Isaiah, and we have 2 scriptures in Jeremiah 10:12 and 51:15, and we also have Zechariah 12:1. Our first scripture that we'd like to read would be Isaiah 45:12. It is I, that would be God and Jesus, who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their hosts. So this would be a picture in our minds that God would be some super giant, and he used his hands to create the universe. If you look up the word stretch, which is a key word in the scripture, stretch from Strong's 5186 means to stretch or to spread out. Just like we saw in Hubble's picture, where the galaxies are being spread out. And then we have a scripture in Isaiah 48:13. Surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. So God is telling us that he spread out the heavens with his right hand, and they all stand together by God's command. This is a picture taken from the creation amazing architect. And you'll notice on the bottom, it says atmosphere as a tent to dwell in. So God spread out our heavens. So if you'll notice at the 5 mile point, if you're at the 5 mile point, if you go above that, you better be in a pressurized plane, because otherwise you won't be able to breathe. So around the 5 miles zone, we have the cutoff of oxygen. And this would be that God spread out the heavens for our earth. So again, we have the color shift that would illustrate that when these galaxies are moving at different speeds from our local part of the Big Bang, that the earth would have an effect upon it. We're going to consider Jeremiah 10:12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. I like the scripture because it emphasizes that if the universe was expanding too fast, it would just lose control and there would be no order or symmetry. If it went too slow, the whole universe would collapse. So it's by God's understanding or his great wisdom that he has stretched out the heavens. We have a similar scripture in Jeremiah 51:15. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding, we have the emphasis on by his understanding, he stretched out the heavens. Now this is a very important definition, and we have about 3 paragraphs. I'm going to try to read this a little slower. I want to make sure that you comprehend what this definition means, because this is the key to our talk. And we think this is the key to proving that God was the one who originated the Big Bang. And the man that we're going to quote is a scientist, and he's also a theologian. And he goes around the world trying to prove that science and the Bible are harmonious. This is a quote from Hugh Ross. Several Hebrew verb forms of nata, that's our key word, nata, are used in these verses to describe the cosmic stretching. Seven of them, and we won't read the scriptures, make reference to the stretcher out of them, the heavens, and imply continual or ongoing expansion. The other four verses, Isaiah 45:12, Isaiah 48:13, and Jeremiah 10:12, 51:15, employed a form that suggests the stretching of the heavens was in some sense established or completed. So what we're going to try to prove is that some of the expansion has been completed, some is going on, and then you're going to have a future expansion. Continuing the definition, a third verb form, the imperfect, is used in combination with the active principle form in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. The first part of the verse makes reference to the ongoing expansion of the universe, while the second part of the verse is most literally translated as, "And he has spread them, the heavens, out." The picture presented in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, is one of God sitting enthroned above, constantly exercising his creative power by continually stretching out the heavens, with the added reference to the past completed acts of God stretching out the heavens. This stretching out of the heavens as both finished and ongoing matches the Big Bang theory. According to that model, all the physics, this would be the dimensions, laws, constants, and equations of physics, were instantly created, designed, and finished so as to guarantee a continual cosmic expansion at exactly the right rates. Now, that's very important, at the right rates, with respect to time, to provide eventually for all the needs of life, human life in particular. This is a picture, again, to illustrate that for our Earth, the heavens or the atmosphere are finished. When God created Adam and Eve, they had plenty of air to breathe. And if you would go at the present time above the 5-mile limit, you have to be on your own. We also have a beautiful scripture from Job 42:5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. This is Job 42:5. We see God's invisible attributes by looking at the visible world he has created. I'd also like to mention, if you'd like more information on the expansion of all of those galaxies, and if you'd like to know the time, relationship, and the speed, and how they could determine that all of these galaxies go back to the Big Bang Theory, you could contact Brother Paul Malley. He's in the audience. If you don't know him, it's a good time to get acquainted. And for those that do know him, he'll be glad to explain any of the time relationships and also about Hubble's law. This was such a great discovery that they have a law named after him. You see a chart before you that's on a horizontal plane, and from the left-hand side, this would be the creation of the universe, which would be 15 billion years ago, and mankind would be at the far end here, and that would be our 6,000 years, and according to science, it would be 15 billion years ago. We put a plus-minus factor on there, and we have another line that we'd like to illustrate. If you were to condense the top line and condense it into 1 year, and this would be the creation of the universe 1 year ago, then mankind for our 6,000 years would be 1 minute. In Chicago, we use this scripture quite a bit. We have flower and garden shows, and we use it on our tracks quite a bit. It says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And this would be the start of the millennial morning. For our last illustration, it says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. And this is the most outstanding point that we like from Isaiah 40:26. It says, because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Isn't that a beautiful thought, that that be the care of the church, that when Brother Ernie Kinsley had his opening address, that he used the scripture from Isaiah 49:16, that all of the brethren are in the palm of Jehovah, and not one of them would be missing. Years ago, Brother Paul Melly told us that all individuals, that would be plus or minus again, have 25,000 hairs, that the head of your hair is numbered. And isn't that a wonderful thought to illustrate the intimate care that God would have for all of the church members? And may the Lord bless these considerations.